Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this show. I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman and Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Okay, so we're continuing to talk about a topic that we were the last half hour with Sandy Rios. This topic that we're talking about with respect to Israel and Christianity and what the Bible teaches about the Jews and Israel and our relationship with them in terms of Christian community with Israel, and also what about America in general, what our government, what should be our policy, because a lot of people say Israel is no special place. We have no special relationship with Israel. We shouldn't be supportive of them or any more than we're supportive of any other country. So there's a lot to talk about here, but so I wanted to get Ray back on. Ray Pritchard, raised in Florida, and what happened to your power there, Brother Ray?
Well, evidently, while we were on the air, a driver hit a power pole and knocked it out, and it caught on fire. So this is what cold weather does to people in Florida. They start driving even crazier than usual. So,
oh, that's good.
At least it wasn't an iguana.
That's what I was going to say. It seems like everything's coming back to the iguana. So are you sure there's no iguana involved here at all?
It's very possible.
Okay, it is possible.
An iguana hit the guy, and the guy hit the pole, and it caught on fire, and boom, here we are.
Or he could have tried to dodge a falling iguana, you know, with a car.
That's true, too.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That happened.
All right. You know what you're saying.
Yep. So Sandy is not too far from Ray, but Sandy Rios from Sandy Rios 24/7. Sandy, tell people how to listen to your podcast air twice a week, and then I want to get back to this topic.
Well, it's Sandy Rios 24/7, and you can get it on any podcast platform. And certainly, because we are part of American Family Radio Network, the same, you can go to AFR.net and look at the podcast categories and find Sandy Rios 24/7. You can also find it on my website if you don't feel fluent or comfortable with other ways to do this. Go to sandyrios.com, and it's easy. You can see it. You can listen every day.
We've been talking also about Tucker Carlson, because that some of the things that Tucker's saying and is just, I don't know what to say. It's unbelievable that he's saying about Israel that I find offensive, and that millions of people who have been his fans and followers find offensive. And he's really got his dander up about it. He's very defensive, and he was on with Megyn Kelly, and if you try to challenge him about any of this stuff, he just shuts it down with, well,
deflects.
He just says, well, I only answer to God and my family, basically. That's what he said the other day about interviewing.
Or then he challenges you on free speech. Aren't you for free speech?
Yeah, I mean, he's really like somebody backed in a corner. Mm-hmm. But he's backed himself in the corner, yeah. Quite frankly. On this, and now I say in the corner, there's people in the corner with him. Unfortunately, yeah. on some of the things that he's saying that are anti-Israel and anti-Semitic. I don't know how else to put it. I wanted to. I don't know best way to do this, because Steve, did you have a quote from?
Some audio.
Did you have something you wanted to say here?
I was prepared to talk about this topic, I can. What I have is an audio of Tucker Carlson kind of walking back his comments about his dislike of Christian Zionists. And then he clarified why he said he was mad, and then he clarified who he was mad at. It wasn't all Christian Zionists. We can play that if you'd like.
When was this?
This was yesterday, Monday.
All right,
On Dave's show.
I'll listen to it.
Go ahead, cut night.
But I just want to say at the outset, because this has been weighing on me, I did say something that I really regret saying that I didn't fully mean. I said it because I was mad, which is always when I say things I don't really mean. I was snippy and I didn't explain it. And I said something to the effect of, I despise Christian Zionists. And I'm just sorry that I said that because I don't. I'm mad at a certain kind of thinking. Some of the nicest people I know are Christian Zionists, actually. You know, if you're in a car crash, they would save you. If you need someone to watch your bank account, they wouldn't steal from you. They're like really good people and sweet people.
So he went on to say, and it was a 2-minute clip, so I didn't do all of this. He went on to say who he is mad at, or he says he asked some of the leaders in Congress, specifically Speaker Johnson, about Israel, who he says on purpose, this is a charge that Tucker is making, not us, that Israel bombed some Christian churches in Gaza on purpose and killed Christians. And why are we paying for that? And he says, quote, the response I got from every single one of these politicians was, the Bible commands us to support Israel, he said. And I said, so Jesus is telling us that we need to get on board with murdering Christians? Is that what you're saying? And they basically said then, like, shut up. Close quote.
Is he paraphrasing right there? Because I don't believe him.
Okay, so...
The part I don't believe, what Tucker's saying there,
yeah.
And maybe it did happen this way. I don't believe that Speaker Mike Johnson, by the way, who is an evangelical Christian himself.
Yes, he is.
I don't think that all, did you say, what was the quote? All of them said what?
His quote, the response I got from every single one was, the Bible commands us to support Israel. And I said, so Jesus is telling us that we need to get on board with murder.
No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Yeah. I think an answer would almost all those guys who are Christians who would support Israel in Congress, they would say this. They would say, well, if Israel bombed churches in Gaza, then they didn't mean to. And if they did mean to, there was a good reason for it, and it's unfortunate. But
that's
they didn't intentionally kill Christians and destroy churches just for the fun of it.
That's right.
In Gaza.
Which was his claim.
Which is what his let me finish here. Which is what his smart aleck response is making them seem to say. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're absolutely right.
Tim, can I jump in?
Yeah.
Well, one observation that I've made that I think is very important. This interpretation of Tucker, misinterpretation of what he just said about Mike Johnson and others, and I agree with you on that, springs from that discussion with Ted Cruz on the air. You remember that? I bet you guys talked about
that
too.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And the observation I have about that in trying to analyze what's causing not just Tucker, but the whole mess. And it goes back to a statement I made in the first hour with you. Evangelicals are completely ignorant right now. All they know is there are exceptions, yes, but for the most part, they don't know the connection between Israel, biblically or historically. And so they remember sound bites. And I'll give you the case in point. Ted Cruz, the most brilliant, probably the most brilliant senator likely in Congress, certainly debater, informed, smart, recall of details. When he was challenged by Tucker in that back and forth on why he felt they should support Israel, his answer was, because I learned in Sunday school that God blesses those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel, and I want to get a blessing. Now, I maintain to all of you that that was an uninformed answer. I'm not saying Ted was wrong, but I'm saying that brilliant man, he couldn't make the case, which we have plenty of cases for it.
He
couldn't do it. So if he can't do it, then this is what we've got. We've got ignorance in the church and lack of teaching.
Okay, well, then that would support Tucker's charge. That the answer he got back was exactly what Ted Cruz.
Well, I think there's certainly shades of it. I don't think I think he overstates, of course.
Yeah. So anyway, I think the answer would more likely be from most of them would be what I said, and that Israel is our traditional and longtime ally in the Middle East, and they have values that are more similar to ours than any other Muslim dictatorship in the region. So all right, Ray, I want to bring you in here for just I want to give you the hard question, Ray.
Okay.
If the power goes out this time, we'll know you're just avoiding the question. I'm just kidding. All right, this whole issue of replacement theology and what our view of Israel today is versus historically by the Christian community can get somewhat complicated. But I want you to talk about it, because there are verses that I can't cite right here and right now, but there are verses in the New Testament that seem to indicate, because Christ came, the world of the salvation is now, and God's relationship with people is now open to all, not just Jews. There is that. Is that replacement theology? And what about the
Abrahamic covenant.
Go ahead.
That is not replacement theology at all. That's just good old-fashioned Bible Christianity. The truth is, the gospel now goes to all the nations. Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every nation, beginning in Jerusalem, but not stopping there. Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so we can confidently say to anybody, anywhere, if you come to Jesus Christ, if you turn from your sins, if you trust in the Savior, you will be saved. So that, to me, is bottom line. That's just Christian evangelism, all right? The deeper question is this, and probably getting more to your point, does God still have a plan for ethnic Israel? Do the promises, the land promises, the national promises made in the Old Testament, which they're in Genesis, but they're also in Exodus, they're also in Deuteronomy, they're also in 2 Samuel, they're in the book of Isaiah, scattered throughout the book of Psalms, promises made again and again to the nation of Israel. The question is, are those promises fulfilled today exclusively and only in the Church of Jesus Christ, or does God still have a future for ethnic Israel in the last days? And my answer would be, he still has a plan for the Jewish people, which will be fulfilled in the last days when Jesus comes back. I don't see, again, I understand some learned Bible students would disagree with what I'm about to say. I respect that. I understand it. But as I read Romans 11, where Paul says, and to all Israel will be saved, I don't see how you can read that as applying to make Israel there equal the Christian church generally. I think he means Israel, the Jewish people. There will be a great turning to Christ among the Jewish people when Jesus comes again. So do I think the church has inherited some of the promises that were given to Israel in the Old Testament? They're now extended to the church? Yes, absolutely. That's what the new covenant is all about. The thing idea that the church replaces Israel completely in God's plan. I don't see that in the Bible.
Could I jump in?
Yeah, jump in.
Yeah. So Ray, you and I are on the same team as usual. Romans 9 through 11 is a must read for people confused right now, the whole thing. 9 through 11, Paul makes it very clear. Mm. And I want to just say something that will be a practical illustration. Some of you will remember that in our country and in England, some of our founding fathers from England, my roots are there too, we always had family estates, family land, family houses. Names were connected to property. And in Israel, same thing, land. So when God promised the land in his promise to Abraham initially, and all the repeated places like Ray mentions, of course he meant the land, the people and the land, the people and the land. And that, and I would say also, two things I got to tell you very quickly. I know I don't want to dominate here, but I heard a Dallas Seminary professor in a video recently just poo-poo that, all the things of Revelation, the role of the Jews, that's already happened, blah, 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 blah. I talked to a guy that you would know. I won't mention his name because it's a private conversation, who was in Israel. He's been there 70 times. He's a very prominent theologian. And he said that the Catholic Church is just building strength in Israel right now. And he was challenging them on trying to take property that Israel owned. And he's the Catholic leader he was dealing with said, well, the Catholic Church is the replacement from Israel. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore, the promises to them. And so this is like a poison spreading through. It is an abject lie. It's an apostasy from my perspective. And I want to just point out the reason I believe, if you pin people down, they believe they think the Jews killed Christ. God has brought his judgment on the Jews. Oh, boy, has he ever. The Israelis have rebelled. And I would just put this in there. So you think the church hasn't rebelled? So you think that we haven't crucified Christ again and again and again? When you look around this country, this so-called Christian nation, you really think that we're the inheritors of God's promises more than the Jews who rebelled against him? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Ray, can I ask you, in that same Romans 11 passage, I believe somewhere in there, where it talks about believers being grafted into the tree. Doesn't that answer this question? The tree remains Israel and we're grafted in? Is that relevant here?
Well, that's exactly right. The root in that imagery of the root and the tree, the root is the promise that God made to Abraham. It was given originally to Abraham and to his descendants. And when the Jewish people, through their leaders, rejected Christ as their Messiah and crucified him, Paul's argument is that for the moment, blindness in part has come upon the Jewish people. They have been replaced in the promises of God by the Gentiles, the Church of Jesus Christ. And Paul's argument is, don't boast, you Gentiles, because if God took the Jews and set them aside temporarily, he can graft them back into the place of promise anytime he wants. So salvation is completely of the Lord. God had everything Sandy said is 1,000% right, 1,000%. The promises that God made to Abraham, to the Jewish people, they were true, they are true. And they will, when Christ comes back, be fulfilled down to the letter. And let me just add this. I don't know what Tucker Carlson thinks about me personally. I'm sure he's never heard of me. But I am one of those Christian Zionists, and I'm happy to take that label, because to me, all that means is I believe that God still has a plan for the Jewish people, and that one day that plan will be completely fulfilled in the land with the redeemed Jewish people bowing and worshiping Jesus Christ, their promised Messiah.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Ray. We appreciate it. We'll let you go back to trying to get your power turned on there. Are you a helpless man there?
I am completely and totally helpless. It's better if I don't touch anything.
Okay. Well, I would just say this. In the grand scheme of things, if you're going to have to be helpless without power, it's better to be helpless in Florida than Kansas City in the winter.
I think that's exactly right.
Am I right about that? All right. Take care, Ray. Right. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Tim. Thanks, Tim. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, Sandy, we'll let you go, too. Thanks for staying over with us. When's your next podcast drop?
It's today, and it's going to be very interesting. It is interesting. We just recorded it. We kind of traced the three elections last week, and I bring a lot of stuff that's come out. I'll just mention two things. Zohan Mamdani, won in New York City with 85% of foreign-born persons who came in the last 5 years. There was no voter ID. No voter ID.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. And then I want to give a broader perspective. Currently, we have 54 million non-residents not born in the U.S. 54 million. That's 16% of our population. And when you trace these elections on last week and future elections, because we haven't made citizenship requirements, this is our future. What happened last Tuesday is our future unless we get a grip on this. So I talk about that. I talk about Veterans Day, and that's coming out today.
Well, you're going to have voter ID or the whole system's going to collapse eventually. You got to have voter. You can't have people voting without proper identification that they're even a U.S. citizen. That's insanity.
Well, you know what, Tim? We have a great bill. It's called the SAVE Act. It's been passed by the House at least twice, maybe three times, but the Senate refuses to consider it.
The Democrats?
No, I'm talking about, of course, the Republicans control the House. In the Senate, the Republicans won't bring it up. They say they don't have enough votes. And this is one of the issues with President Trump about doing away with the filibuster. We've got to save our country. This is an emergency. Right. There are a million things to consider, but this SAVE Act, which just reinstates law and requires citizenship everywhere, and mail-in balloting brought back into subjection according to law, it's very important. And yet the Republicans are so concerned about the filibuster, that rule, in case they have power next time. They're not going to have power next time. We are headed for a disaster. Yeah. If they don't do this, I think they need to get rid of the filibuster and do emergency measures like President Trump is and like all of us have to. It's all men, everybody on deck, all hands on deck.
Well, again, Sandy Sunshine with us from the great state of Florida bringing us happy,
no sunshine today. Frost on my hot tub.
I'm just teasing with Sandy. Sandy brings the truth and let the chips fall where they may, so to speak. All right, Sandy, thanks so much. Take care. We appreciate you being on with us today.
All right. Great to talk to you guys. Love you all. Talk to you soon.
Okay, love you too.
Okay, bye.
That's Sandy Rios from Sandy Rios 24/7. Steve?
What a good lady. Hey, some good news. Let's talk about some good news. Memphis, Tennessee. You know, Donald Trump sent the National Guard and some troops into Memphis to help keep the peace there because it's a city that was in deep trouble. Well, about the same time as the Guard arrived there, they started a task force which was an interagency coalition of federal, state, and local law enforcement partners. And it was called the Memphis SAFE Task Force. And since it has been started, as of November 8th, they have rescued 101 children from sex trafficking. And I just wanted to let you hear a little bit about how the local news is covering this. Cut 10.
First at 10 tonight, we have new information when it comes to the Memphis SAFE Task Force in the city. Hi there. Thanks for being with us. I'm Shay Arthur. Tonight, we have new numbers from the U.S. Marshals Service who tell us the task force has located and safely returned more than 100 missing children. For the past 40 days, the missing child unit worked alongside local and state authorities to bring those children home. Officials call it one of their proudest accomplishments, crediting strong partnerships and relentless investigation. In October alone, the Memphis SAFE Task Force says it also made more than 1,800 arrests across the region.
Well, that's great news. Mm-hmm. A rescue of 100 kids. I'm guessing those were within the Memphis area or within driving there. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That is great news. Absolutely.
It is. That is great news. That's obviously they're not military, but with Veterans Day, and that reminds me of all those that serve our communities and serve our country.
Keep law and order.
Law and order. Yeah.
Did you have one more story? Do we have time for? Or are we out of time?
You
had something funny, didn't you?
Yeah, we
have time. Yeah, we do. We don't have time.
We can start it. It's still the whole. I play the whole thing because I'm.
This what is one it? Airline that isn't doing is doing pretty well. Cut 12.
Welcome to Virtue Airlines, the progressive airline for people who cancel everything except their holidays.
We offer direct flights to Cuba, China, and North Korea.
Okay. That's progressive airlines?
Yeah, we can finish that tomorrow.
They want to go to the communist utopian paradises, huh?
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, who doesn't want to go direct to North Korea, right? Enjoy a holiday. All right. Thank you for listening to our program, everybody. We appreciate it very much. And we'll see you back here tomorrow.